In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in our study of the book of Ruth. We'll begin reading back in chapter 3, verse 16, get a little of the context, and then our passage will cover verses 17 and 18. Hear now the word of God. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go for you, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.' Then she said, 'Stay home, my daughter, until you know for certain how a matter turns out. For the man will not rest until he has settled the matter this day.'" Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we may not just be seed receivers, but fruit bearers. Remind us, Lord, that we're supposed to do something with this, your word. We're supposed to serve you more faithfully. We're supposed to love you more firmly. We're supposed to know you better. We're supposed to follow you more directly. And so, Lord, may we be fruit bearers. As that old hymn, "You got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move." And Lord, I pray that in this house and in each heart, we would be those ready to move, already on our feet, ready to do our master's bidding. And all the while, Lord, being stewards and servants and students of your word. Lord, make each one of us a faithful witness where you've placed us. And fill us with your spirit right now this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Now remember the story thus far. It's early in the morning. And Ruth has returned home after a long night at the threshing floor. Where, according to Naomi's plan, she has asked Boaz to redeem their family by marrying her, a widow of his kinsman. Well, the moment Ruth stumbles through the door, she plops down this big old bundle of grain and tells an anxiously waiting Naomi how everything went that night. Boaz has agreed to all that Ruth has asked. However, there's another relative who is closer to the family than Boaz is. As such, the first right of marrying Ruth must be given to him. Therefore, Boaz says that in the morning, he will go and find out if this other relative is willing to redeem, willing to marry Ruth. If he is, then good. But if not, Boaz pledges before Yahweh that he will marry Ruth himself. Well, in our text this morning, the conversation between Ruth and Naomi continues. You see, there's still the matter of this big old bundle of grain that Boaz has given Ruth. Not only that, we've yet to hear Naomi's response to all that Ruth has told her. Listen. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me." Notice at once, after telling Naomi all of the details of the night before and assuring her of Boaz's pledge to see the matter settled, Ruth goes on to explain the big old pile of grain that she has brought home. Now, after gleaning for 2 harvests under Boaz's lavish provision, Ruth arriving home with lots of grain was probably a pretty common scene. However, Ruth did not go to the threshing floor that night to work or to glean. Therefore, there should have been no grain. So what's up with this huge pile of grain that she's brought home? Notice Ruth tells Naomi that Boaz gave her these 6 measures of barley. Not only that, notice the lavishness. Notice the emphasis in the word order of Ruth's report. In the Hebrew, and thus reflected by the translation that you have on your sheet, the amount of grain comes first. It's mentioned first. And then the verb "he gave" follows. So Ruth doesn't say, "Hey, Boaz gave me these 6 measures of grain. He gave me this grain." That's not what she says. Instead, it seems kind of clunky. She says, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me." That seems a little backwards, but the point is that the barley, the mention of the barley, is a lavishness. It comes first. Simply put, the word order intentionally places the emphasis or the focus. It gives first place to or mentions first the amount of barley or amount of grain that was given. In other words, what Boaz has provided Ruth for cover, so she looked like a worker gathering her wages first thing in the morning. What Boaz provided Ruth for cover was significantly more than the normal wages of a worker. It was more than just cover. It was more than was required for cover. There's something else going on here. Well, what is it? Well, listen to what else Ruth says. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Next, notice the explanation that Ruth gives for the grain and its lavish amount. Ruth says that Boaz gave her the 6 measures of grain because he said that she should not return to her mother-in-law empty-handed. Now, this is important because at once, verse 17 confirms our reading thus far. Notice then, Boaz not only gives the grain to Ruth in order to provide her with the cover of an expected activity. She looks like a worker collecting her pay and not some floozy returning from a fling. So he not only provides her with that cover, the grain's lavish nature, the amount of it, also serves as a concrete message, a concrete pledge to Naomi that Boaz is committed to seeing the women provided for one way or the other. So we have this huge amount of provision, and Boaz is sending that Sicilian message, that visual message. I will provide for you. I will make sure that you're provided for. And the lavishness of it, the over-the-top nature of it, shows Boaz's absolute commitment to doing that. Okay, so he sent her this pledge. However, there are 2 additional points that we need to attend to before we move on. First of all, notice that the author has continued his impersonal approach to the account, along with the upheaval that that impersonal approach represents. So what am I talking about? Well, remember, in a book that is all about names, where the author is constantly taking the Hebrew name and bouncing it off the situation to give us a deeper understanding of the spiritual things that are going on. Well, in a book that's all about names, it is conspicuous. It is deliberate and intentional that that the author has gone out of the way to make sure that Boaz and Ruth are still referred to only by pronouns, not their Hebrew names. In a book about names, when the names disappear, it means something. So listen, and she said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said. Okay, it's just a bunch of he's and she's in here. In turn, Naomi is simply called mother-in-law. Why? Well, at this point in the account, no one knows who they are. We went over this last week. That's great. But notice the trend still continuing because this notion is supposed to be front and center right now in the part of the passage we're reading today. Why is that? Because no one knows who they are. No one knows if Naomi's plan is indeed pleasant to God. What does Naomi's name mean? My pleasant one. But nobody knows if that's who she is, really. Right? No one knows if Boaz is the strength and deliverer that God has provided. Boaz means in strength, but no one knows if this is the deliverer, if this is the kinsman redeemer, the strength that God has provided. And as it stands now, nobody knows whose companion Ruth will end up being. Ruth's Hebrew name means companion. No one knows who they are in the account. And this is so important because it is this uncertainty that defines the entire psychological and emotional energy of the account. It is what everyone is thinking. It is what everyone is feeling. Everything is up in the air. It could go one direction or another direction. There's an uncertainty. There's an anxiety. There's an unknownness that's going on here, and it's dominating the thoughts and the emotions of everybody in the account, and therefore it serves as the backdrop of everything that is taking place. So remember, the book of Ruth is a book that's meant to draw you in. It's a book meant to engage you, to delight you. Okay, we are not reading an account of just stock, you know, two-dimensional characters. These are real people in whom God's hand is truly working. And so we're meant to be engaged with that because as God is working Naomi and Ruth's deliverance, he is also working our deliverance quite literally through the Messiah that will come through these events, right?
But there's more to that. You see, we're watching the way that God's hand works, what it often looks like when God's hand works in real people's lives. You see, it doesn't sound like the guidepost devotionals where everything just magically works out. It doesn't sound like, you know, the Christian concert where, you know, we're just raising our hands and doing. Very oftentimes, the blessings of God are messy. And right now, everybody's up in the air. They're not sure what's going on. Because sometimes God's blessings are messy. Why? Because very often, God calls us to follow him when the matter is out of our hands, when it is uncertain, where all we have to go on is our trust in him. And so sometimes when God is most present at work and drawing you as close to him in your life, very oftentimes it feels like what Naomi and Ruth are going to, and scripture is showing you that every step of the way. Amen? All right, well, the second point we need to attend is that verse 17 provides a detail of the conversation between Ruth and Boaz that we did not hear back in verse 15 when all that was taking place. Now, this is important because this is the second time the author provides us with additional information through Ruth's reporting on a previously held conversation. So the first time this happened was back in chapter 2, verse 21, where Ruth adds in her account to Naomi that Boaz has instructed her to glean with his workers through both the wheat and the barley harvest. There's an added to it. It's not just a wheat harvest. We learn through this additional information there was also the barley harvest as well. Well, notice the point. In each case, the author withholds this additional information, letting us hear it for the first time along with Naomi. Now, why is that? By doing so, he allows us to share Naomi's discovery, her realization of the depth of Boaz's kindness, his character, and his commitment. So think about it like this, okay? So when Ruth comes through the door and with that big pile of grain on that first day, and tells Naomi everything that Boaz has done. Okay, well, we know, and like just like Naomi knew, that Boaz has shown her an extraordinary kindness. He is going out of his way to help these women. And so their minds are blown. Okay, but later, when we discover along with Naomi that this arrangement is not just one day, is not just going to be for one harvest, but Ruth is now going to follow Boaz to a completely different field, to a completely different harvest, then all of a sudden, with Naomi, we're allowed to understand the incredible depth, the incredible profundity of Boaz's character and his kindness and his provision towards them. And so that's going to be a factor as we go on in just a second, as you shall see. Notice the result. Ruth does not simply return home with a report or an account of what Boaz said. Instead, she arrives home with a concrete pledge, a concrete assurance from Boaz to Naomi. In other words, Boaz is not simply being nice here, nor is he merely continuing his former provision for the family. I can't tell you how many commentators misunderstand this as Boaz continuing to provide for Ruth and Naomi the way he's done in the past. Something very different's going on. You see, when Boaz was setting up all those lavish conditions for Ruth to glean in his field, he was providing for their future, for their well-being going forward, so they would have food to eat. However, in a few short hours from this verse, that matter is going to be settled. They're going to be under the care of one of two very wealthy landowners. There's no more worrying about the future. Provision is not what's going on here. It's not just Boaz being nice. Instead, he is sending his official pledge to see Ruth married to the head and authority of the family under whose charge Ruth falls. You know, when a young man goes and asks for a father for his daughter's hand in marriage and gets all that set up, that's what's kind of going on here, but probably more profound. This is an official pledge that Boaz is sending to the head of the family under whose charge Ruth falls, that he will see this matter done.
Notice the result. In a book that's all about legal transactions, and in the midst of all the upheaval that's going on, Boaz, in strength, sends a strong and poignant assurance that he will see the matter resolved. Such then not only shows Boaz's character, it also shows his compassion. In other words, Boaz sends Naomi the very thing that he knows that she needs the most, which is chesed. That's committed love. That's that theme that we've seen. He sends a commitment, okay? A firm assurance that all will be taken care of. And so now for the first time, we're able to understand this sack of grain that Ruth brings home, really for the first time. Okay, so Boaz is sending an official pledge to the head of the family that he will resolve this matter on their behalf. He's going to get it done. That's an official, that's one of these legal transactions, okay? But at the same time, we see Boaz's compassion. He understands because he too is in the midst of this upheaval. Nobody knows who they are. And so he thinks and has the foresight to send to Naomi the very thing that he knows that she's going to need, which is something concrete, a pledge, something firm, a committed love, and he sends it to her. Okay, so now let's flip it. Okay, think about Naomi. Okay, imagine you were in that situation. Everything's on the line. Your future, your well-being, your provision, your sustenance, it's all on the line. And so you've been praying that God would be there, praying that God would provide. Those prayers that you're saying, and all of a sudden, something concrete comes through the door that says this will be taken care of. And all of a sudden, even though the matter isn't fixed yet, how do you read that? What do you think about that? You immediately take it for the sign that it is, that God's hand is at work in your situation. And so in the midst of the uncertainty, here are those small signs that God is sending to Naomi, Ruth, but also the same small signs that God sends to you, that even though the problem isn't fixed yet, and even though you don't know how it's going to be fixed, your God is in control. And we're given these things so that in our own life, we can understand that we've been being faithful. We know who our God is. And sometimes God answering those prayers, sometimes it doesn't feel like a hallelujah chorus. Sometimes it's really scary. But God calls us to follow. And as we're doing so, pay attention to the small signs that God gives you that he's there and that he's in control. We're seeing it in the book of Ruth. And hey, by the way, we just walked through that together as a church, right? And the whole time, God's providence, God's goodness had us in this very book where we see the delight in our God, but also come to understand that sometimes what will later be sung as great blessings didn't start out looking like that. It was scary and it was messy, but God never let go. This is exactly what's going on here. All right, listen. Then she said, "Stay home, my daughter, until you know for certain how the matter turns out." Next, notice how Naomi responds to Ruth's first report. First, notice we do not have any of the squealing or jumping up and down or frantic exuberant to begin planning a wedding. Ruth's going to get married, okay? But there's no going through cake, wedding cake designs or bridal magazines. There's none of that going on. Instead, Naomi tells Ruth to sit down and stay at home. Now, this is important. Why? Because in a book that's all about legal transactions, we find Naomi responding to Ruth's report with the authority of the family head. She's the matriarch, and she's responding just like that. As such, she instructs. These verbs are all in an imperative. They're commands. She instructs her daughter-in-law, her charge, how she is to proceed. Simply put, verse 18 opens with Naomi, the head of the house, directing her household's part in the matter. This is what Boaz is doing in the matter, and on our part, this is how our house will respond and what we will do in the matter. Notice then what Naomi instructs Ruth to do. Naomi tells Ruth to stay home. In other words, Ruth is not to go out to work that day, as was her custom. Instead, she's to stay put. Why? As there was most certainly going to be a public discussion about Ruth, it's probably best that she lay low and let Boaz, a leader in the community, handle that discussion, handle that matter. The only thing that could happen is it gets messy, right? Or Ruth goes out and all of a sudden opens herself up to ridicule and suspicion. Let Boaz handle it. You don't need to go clog up the drain, okay? Stay put, stay where you are, and let Boaz handle it. Second, Naomi tells Ruth that she's to stay home until she knows for certain how the matter turns out. And I love this because, you know, we're dealing with a female here, okay? And this might make the sermon a little long, but let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, okay? So my wife, okay, can go get her keys and her purse, okay? And we're in a house with five male entities. It's me, my two boys, and then we have two male English setter dogs, okay? My wife can go get her keys, right? And I'm making the announcement that she's going and do we need anything from wherever she's going and whatnot, okay? And maybe a dog's head will look up to see what who's talking? Is somebody talking to us? Okay. But she'll say that, and then 10 minutes later, someone in the house is going to go, "Hey, Dad, have you seen Mom? Where's Mom?" And I'll be like, "I don't know. See if her car's in the driveway." And nobody will know. But I can, with stealth mode, okay, go get my keys and my wallet, right? And all of a sudden, from like Alaska, Christine's right there. "Where are you going? Where are you heading? What do you need? Why are you going there? What do you need there? I'll go with you. We can stop off somewhere else. We can stop at the shoe store on the way. Where are you going?" Okay, that, and so here's the female nature of going, "I need to be there. Let me help. I need to attend. I need to overlook the situation." Naomi says, "No. You're to stay until you know for certain that the matter has been finally decided." In other words, Ruth is not to grow impatient or to take matters into her own hands. She does not need to go and see how things are progressing or try to assist the matter in moving it along. Instead, she is to let Boaz be Boaz and handle it. This is so important because in a book that's all about these legal transactions, Naomi's instruction serves as a transition from her house, from her authority, to that of the kinsman redeemers. Ruth is to trust Yahweh and respect her hope-to-be husband, allowing both to work. This does not mean that Ruth is passive or docile, or that the picture of an ideal woman or wife in Scripture is anywhere passive or docile. Ruth, you cannot draw that opinion from this book. Okay? Ruth has been very active, has actively and competently done her part in the work, a part which Yahweh has used as a central factor. However, it's now time to let Yahweh's other instruments do their part, which, at times, is the hardest part of faithfulness. Sometimes, it's so hard to let go and let someone else take the reins. Sometimes, it's so hard to go, "I've done my part, and now I don't need to micromanage. I've got to give that ownership into the next set of hands that God has equipped and prepared." And that's exactly what Naomi is instructing Ruth to do. For the man will not rest until he has settled the matter this day. Next knows the reason that Naomi gives for her instructions. She tells Ruth that the man will not rest until he has settled the matter. In other words, Ruth need not fret. Boaz is going to do his part. Not only that, Naomi goes on to say that Boaz will see the matter settled this very day. In other words, Boaz will not delay nor will he get to things when he has a convenient moment. Instead, he will do exactly as he has promised, which is see the matter resolved that day. Notice the result. Naomi bases the entire reason for her instructions on her confidence in Boaz. The whole reason. And my question is, how is that possible? How could she base her whole confidence in Boaz? Think about it.
Well, he's in the Bible.
Okay, stop. Okay, think about it. Naomi has been away for over a decade. Not only that, the women arrived back in town just as the harvest was starting. And there is absolutely no indication from the text that during this busy time, when Boaz is at his busiest, there's no indication that Naomi and Boaz had any contact. So how is Naomi basing everything on a confidence in Boaz? How does she feel like she knows him that well? It's been a long time since they've even spoken. Okay, well, first, she has seen Boaz's character and his kindness to her family in action through two whole harvests. She's seen it in action. Remember, she picks up on it. I don't know if you remember this, but she picks up on it and she bides her time. She watches. She listens. She sees what's going on. She's looking to see if her inclination, if what she's sensing actually pans out. Well, she's seen it in action over two whole harvests. Not only that, she has heard the vow that Boaz has made before Yahweh, and she has received his concrete pledge of lavish grain. However, more importantly, in all of these things, she has sensed God's hand at work through Boaz. That is, Naomi has found Boaz's heart and actions to be moving in sync with her prayers and Yahweh's committed love. Naomi, just like you and I in that situation, has been earnestly praying. She's been praying that God would not reject her as being his child. She's misunderstood that. She's been praying for the future, for their provision, for their sustenance, for their well-being, for their very survival. She knows God's character. And she's been crying out to him, and all of a sudden, something on that trajectory begins to happen, and it keeps happening, and it gets stronger, and the signal gets louder and gets bigger. You see, Naomi begins to understand that Boaz's heart and actions are moving in sync with the heart and actions of Yahweh. Okay, therefore, I lost my place. On the completely wrong page. Okay. So she has seen this all going on, everything. She has seen it. However, more importantly, in all these things, she sensed God's hand. Simply put, Naomi's confidence in Boaz is rooted in her confidence and hope in Yahweh. Therefore, she instructs her daughter-in-law to trust Yahweh and Yahweh's instrument. Bottom line, as Naomi finishes her instruction, Ruth sits down in a huff, arms crossed, lips poked out in a deep sigh. Okay? She's been sidelined with everything still so up in the air. There's nothing to do now but wait for both of the women. Give them 5 minutes, and I guarantee you'll find both women vigorously cleaning the house with that nervous female energy that is lethal to clutter and any grime. They're both cleaning silently. So as we leave Naomi and Ruth, the closing scene is one in which Yahweh's hand is most certainly at work. You can tell that it's at work because it's a scene of faith and somewhat frantic hope amid the greatest of uncertainty, which is very often the exact way that God calls you and me to trust him, with everything on the line and everything completely out of our control. And so as the curtain closes, take a moment just to watch the two women with their buckets and their mops and their sponges going to make use of this nervous energy. Because it's the last time that you're going to see them until almost the end of the book. They've done their part. Now it's time to wait and trust. And as the curtain closes, we're reminded that sometimes this is exactly how God's direct hand at work in your life looks. So take it in and know that that house is going to be really clean the next time you see it. Amen? Amen.